2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 through 16, and then verses 20 through 3 that we want to look at. Sometimes that means God to help breaking the peace. Just y'all be in peace. And just y'all need y'all to be poor. We do the right thing. We want some peace in the house. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, 16, and then verses 20 through 23 that we want to look at on today. And as you make your way to 2 Samuel 16, then I'm going to jump down to verses 20 through 23. That 12th verse starts off by saying, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Now come on down to verse 20. It says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. I want to talk about praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. Here, this famous king of Israel, David, finds that the Ark of the Covenant is on his way to the city of David, that is Jerusalem. You would have to understand that the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God being present. And David thought about that thing and said, I don't know what y'all are gonna do, but I'm going to praise the Lord. And it wasn't just his little patty cake praise. He danced and danced with all of his might. And I'm sure, to his disappointment, when he came home thinking he would get some affirmation, hoping he would find somebody who would understand, when he got home, it was out of the mouth of his wife that he find words of despisement. God is not even on her mind. She want to know, why are you disrobing in front of the slave girls? Why are you not acting like royalty? Why are you being so unsophisticated? And David's response to his praise being despised was not to acquiesce. It was not to yield. It was not to give in. He did not compromise. On the contrary, he determined that if don't nobody else praise him, I'm going to praise him all by myself. He says, in essence, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to become even more undignified than this. He praised God anyhow. And if you have been listening these last 3 weeks about this matter of Christian worship, you may have made up in your mind that I'm going to praise the Lord. And I want you to know, even though all of us are sitting here and the same sermon is hitting all of our eardrums, all of us do not have ears to hear. I don't want you to think everybody gonna get on the bus and travel with you on this trip of praise. In fact, don't be shocked if some of the folks sitting around you look at you and say, what in the world are you doing? It doesn't take all of that. Church can be a place of despisement. And the question will become, what do you do when people despise your praise? David would say, make up your mind, become determined to praise God anyhow. And that's all I'm trying to tell you today, children, is that we should be mindful of praise, despisement, and determination. Did you hear me? We should be mindful of praise, despisement, and determination. It was the Ark of the Covenant, this great big chest with gold all around it, cherubims, these winged creatures on top of it, that had the Ten Commandments in it, that was a symbol in David's day of God being present. No doubt David looked at the awesomeness of God and then looked at the sinfulness of himself and decided, I'm going to praise God for allowing his presence to where I stand. And children, I would tell you now that when you think about God, you would have to agree he is an awesome God. I mean, my God. When you look up in the sky and see all of that blue stuff, God did that. And when you look at all of that grass and all that green stuff down there, God did that. When you see the birds flying through the sky, you remember God taught them how to fly. And when you see the fish swimming in the stream, you remember that God taught them how to swim, that he is the lifeguard that watches over even the fish down in the stream. Every time you see that long neck of the giraffe and that squeal of the panther, you remember God did all of that. God is our creator. And he did not just create us and leave us. He is also our sustainer. There are those who would have us to believe that God is the master watchmaker. And he has put the world together like a watchman would put together a watch. And he's left us now to tick and tock our life away. But nothing could be further from the truth. Not only did God create us, but he is with us, sustaining us. Early this morning, it was the Lord who woke me up this morning. Early this morning, it was the Lord who made sure that my heart was still beating and that my lungs were still breathing and that I was still in my right mind. It is the Lord who sustains us. And then if you got any sense at all, you ought to know it is the Lord in whom we have our hope. I trust you're not crazy enough to have your hope in some Dow Jones index. I hope your hope is not in America's military might. I hope your hope is not in the people and relationships of this world. All of these things are sinking sand, but we can put our hope in God. He's an awesome God. And then, you know, I really didn't even have to go there. Somebody could have made this thing real personal. They could have said, hey, Reverend, I know he's an awesome God because I was sick and I couldn't get well. And the God came and he was my doctor in a sick room. And somebody said, well, I wasn't going to say nothing, but if you let him say that, let me say my piece. I was broke, didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. And God stepped in right on time and kept food on my table and shoes on my children's feet. God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I said he's an awesome God. And then, no doubt, it was not only the awesomeness of God, but I believe that David was conscious of his own shortcoming. If he was not, he should have been. We ought to be conscious of our shortcomings. We ought to be mindful that we don't deserve to be in the presence of God. It is a privilege to be in the presence of God. Because as churchy as we look today, we've all fallen short of God's glory. We haven't witnessed like we should have. We haven't worshiped like we should have. Our studying, our serving, our giving has not always been up to par. We sometimes have looked like good church folk, but have went home to be lousy spouses and lousy parents. We come and we play the church game in church, but we go outside and hide our light and keep the salt in the salt shaker. But through it all, the Lord allows us to be in his presence. And there's something about the awesomeness of God and the sinfulness of ourselves and being in his presence that make us just want to praise his holy name. I know why David wanted to praise him. I know why he wanted to lift his name. I know why he danced, because there's something that will move the heart of those who love God to know you are in the presence of the Lord. Now, don't worry about it if you can't dance anymore. Don't worry about it if you can't shout like David was shouting. Do what you can do. Rocking is fine. If you can't rock, you ought to at least wave. If you can't wave, just clap your hands. You ought to have some expression of praise, but make sure it comes from the right heart. You know, you can go through the motions and your heart be all messed up. You can do the right stuff with the wrong heart, which then negates your behavior. You got to make sure your heart is right when you're trying to praise God. And I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to hear it. But I got to tell you, so your blood won't be on my hand. Before David shouted, he gave. I said before he shouted, before he got his shout out, he gave. It's right there in the same text. It's right there in the same text. Unless you tore it out, it's right there in the text. Verse 13 said, he sacrificed the bull and the fatted calf. And then he got his shout on. In verse 14 and 15, he gave and then he shouted. Don't you know we always want to shout right past the giving tray? But David put his offering in and then he got his shout on. What a marvelous sequence. And I think I ought to tell you that the Lord sees your heart. He says that where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Something is wrong jumping and shouting all around the Lord's house and you're robbing him at the same time. Keep moving, Reverend. Listen, I tried to say something about praise. I'm moving now to despise me. So David went on and got his praise, got his shout on. And then when he went home, had a good time with the people of God, and then he went home. I'm sure he thought that when he got home, because after all, he went home to bless his house. That's what the Bible says. What was he going home for? He went home to bless his house. And when he got home, before he could even get in the door, his wife was running out of the door and said, well, look at you, Mr. So-and-so. You're supposed to be the king. And you out here being so undignified, so unsophisticated, taking your robe off in front of all these slave girls. Look at you. The Bible says she despised him because of his praise. I wish that this is the last episode of despisement. But I think I ought to tell somebody, don't be shocked. Don't be flabbergasted. Don't be surprised if after you have a good time in the Lord's house, that you go home and find all kinds of despisement sitting there waiting at the entrance. Somebody ought to help me here. Some woman know that you've had a good time here and had to go back to all kinds of drama. We got a lot of young people up in here, but y'all know I want to say something a little stronger than drama, that you had to leave heaven here and go home. Yeah. And not only wives, but there's been some husbands who've tried to give their best in service and go home to wives talking about why you smiling at her so much. Family can be a source of despisement. And then I wish it was all out there. But the truth of the matter is there's too much despisement even in the Lord's house. There are people who come to church to shout it out. And you run into a crowd of dead, dry bones that say, you don't need to do all of that. You come here not feeling well already, but you decide I want to give a sacrifice of praise. And dead, dry bones say, you need to hush up. Dead, dry bones say, you need to sit down somewhere. Dead, dry bones try to steal your praise. Well, listen, let me tell you. You don't know what God has done in the lives of some people. Allow me to slow this train down a little bit and run past Matthew chapter 7, verse 37 through 47. Matthew 7, verse 37 through 47. There you will find a woman at the very feet of Jesus, washing the master's feet with her tears and with her hair. The Bible says, the reason she was doing it was because she was so appreciative of the forgiveness, the grace, and mercy that she had received. Somebody speculated that maybe she was a prostitute. Maybe she was a woman of the night. And she was so appreciative of being forgiven that she wanted to show her remorse, her appreciation, her gratitude in such a humiliating act. Jesus takes this as a teachable moment and says to the Pharisees, who gave him no water for his feet as they should have, and said that when you are forgiven much, you praise and you show much love. But when you have received only a little forgiveness, then you only give a little praise and show only a little love. So then the woman showed much love because of much forgiveness. When I look at us, I'm thoroughly confused. We act like God has only forgiven us for a little. That's why we have so few amens. That's why we have such little praise. Because we act like God has forgiven us for so little. And if I had just gotten off the boat yesterday, you may have been able to fool me. But I know some of y'all. And you ought to have come in the door and said, Lord, thank you for letting me make it up in here one more time. Somebody ought to help me here. Y'all can act churchy if you want to. There's some people here, they don't have skeletons in their closet. You got people in your closet. Skeletons suggest the thing is dead. Some of y'all got real live people with a full outfit on, eating, is eating right now, waiting for you to come back home. And I'm not talking about what we did 10, 15, 20 years ago. There's some folk who did some stuff last night with your low-down self. Some folk just here recently, this year. This is the 31st day of the year, and your low-down self done already messed up. Y'all still trying to act like you missing. I'm talking about fornicators sitting up here saying amen. Adulterers sitting up here acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's some folk who've done some homosexual freaky stuff up in here acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's some folk who are addicted to pornography. You don't want nobody coming to look at your computer, backtracking the history on your computer, all that freaky stuff you've been looking at. And the Lord let you still come up here in his house. I just need to get closer, y'all can feel me. Then Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Luke 12, 48 says that to whom much is given, much is required. Somebody here has been sick, and the Lord picked you up. You ought to praise him. Somebody's been broke. Everybody else was getting laid off, and the Lord saved your job. That's why you ought to praise him. Somebody's got all kinds of drama in your other relationships. Mama and daddy been dead. Brothers and sisters have left you. Friends that you thought had your back have stabbed you in your back. But then the Lord came and healed the stab wound. That's why you ought to praise him. Don't join the despising crowd. Join the praise team. You ought to make up in your mind that I don't care what happens, I'm going to praise the Lord. Now I think I need to just spend a minute here because it seems as if this middle class black crowd is getting away from praise. Look like we just want to be cool in worship. We don't want to mess up our makeup. We don't want to mess up our clothing. That we just trying to be cool in worship. But I'm here to tell you, if you can't praise him with your stuff, the Lord can take your stuff and get back his praise. Some of us praised him more when we was driving that hoopty. Some of us praised him better when we had to catch the bus and had to walk to church. Some of us praised him better when we was wearing the hand-me-down coat to church. Now that we got mink and cashmere, now that we can drive what we want to drive, now we can live where we want to live, we act like we too cool, too sophisticated to tell the Lord thank you for being so good to me. Can I remind you that less than 150 years ago we were nothing but slaves in this country? Less than 50 years ago we were marching for the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act right here in this country. We have so much to be thankful for. I got to keep moving. I tried to say something about praise. And I've tried to warn you that there will be people who will despise you. Don't join the despising crowd. Join the praise team. Here then is the last piece. This matter of determination. What was David's response to his wife despising his praise? He determined that I'm going to praise him even more. He made up his mind, girl, look, I don't care what you say. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. I've got to praise him. Maybe David looked back over his life and remembered when he was watching over his daddy's sheep. Y'all remember the story. The prophet came up to David's daddy named Jesse. The prophet said, Jesse, the Lord is going to use one of your sons to be the king. They looked at all of the older boys, and the prophet did not feel that God had called any of them. The prophet was confused and said, Jesse, this is mighty strange. I know I got the right address, but none of these have the Lord chosen. Is it anybody else around here? Jesse said, yes, I got one younger boy by the name of David, but I'm sure he's not the one that you are looking for. I wonder, is there anybody sitting up in the air today who knows how to feel when nobody expects any good thing out of your life? I wonder, is it anybody here who's grown up in a situation where people have looked over you to think about what good things the Lord would do in somebody else's life? I wonder, is there anybody here who has suffered from low expectation? But David, look back how the Lord took a little shepherd boy and promoted him to kill Goliath with nothing but a slingshot and a few stones laying around. You hear me? I'm sure that David looked back over his life and thought about how the Lord had watched over him when that paranoid schizophrenic by the name of Saul had chased him all around the countryside. Y'all remember the story? David was a musician and he would play music for the king. And they tell me that Saul was so insecure that one day Saul took a javelin and threw it to try to kill David. But the Lord built a fence all around David and kept him from hurt, harm, and danger. They tell me that Saul was after David and David had him dead to rights. All he had to do was give the order and Saul's life would have been over. But David said, no, touch not God's anointed and do his prophet no harm. So the Lord had been good to David, and David said, I've got to praise the Lord. And somebody here under the sound of my voice need to make up your mind to praise the Lord anyhow. No matter what happens, no matter what don't happen, you ought to make up your mind to praise God anyhow. Praise him when you got money in both pockets, jelly and jam in the cupboard. Go head on and praise him. But then praise him when your money gets funny and you can't see how ends are going to mean. Keep on praising the Lord. Praise him when you feel strong and full of energy. But praise him when arthritis weigh you down. Praise the Lord. I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this part. Make sure that your praise is not just a lip situation. Praise God with your lips and with your life. Let me put it like this. Yes, say amen on Sunday, but live amen on Monday. When you go on your job, live amen by doing a good job as unto the Lord. Yes, get your shout on Sunday morning, but then go home and be a good spouse as answer unto the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord on Sunday morning, but then go home and put food on the table of the hungry. Put clothes on the back of the naked. Be a friend to those who are friendless. Be a voice for those who are voiceless. All in the name of Jesus. God bless you, Southern. I just wanted to stop by and tell you, praise God anyhow. Praise Him when you feel like it. And praise Him when you don't. In fact, some of your best praise will come when you don't feel like it. Some of your best praise comes when it's a sacrifice. Everybody can praise Him when the stock market is up. But the best praise party is when you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Thank God, all right. I'm closing here, but I ought to tell you, we may not always sing your favorite song, but praise Him anyhow. We may not pray your favorite prayer, but praise Him anyhow. Pastor may not always preach your favorite sermon, but praise God anyhow. I said He's worthy. I dare you look over and tell your neighbor, neighbor, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Yeah. 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 I said He's worthy. You can't make me doubt Him. I know too much. I know too much. I know too much about Him. He's wiped too many tears. He's picked up too many heavy burdens. He's dried away too many tears. I know Him. I know Him. Tried my Lord, don't fool me now, my time is gone. Anybody here ever been down, couldn't see your way up. Won't he come by? Won't he come by? Won't he come by? Yeah! Yeah! He will come back. He will take care of you. You're not in this thing by yourself. There's power in your praise. I said there's power in your praise. I dare you to make up in your mind that no matter what they sing, no matter what they pray, no matter what they preach, I'm going to praise the Lord. I dare you to enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I dare you to join David in saying, I'm going to praise God anyhow. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. It will make a difference in your life. God bless you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. My brother, my sister, if you know you need Jesus in your life, if you know you need to join, be reinstated in the church, come on out of the aisle and let's get it fixed today. You're gonna need more than to feel good.